Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. I am your host, Jester Dooms. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. For me, it's Monday, April 29th. Time is 2053. And for you, it is Tuesday morning. I hope everybody had a great Monday. I hope you're off to work. I hope you're doing your thing. I hope that everything is going swimmingly, knowing that tomorrow is hump day. You're going to get halfway through the week and you're going to keep on trucking. Mr. Scooter, Mr. Producer Scooter, how are you doing, sir? I hope you're doing well.
Doing good. Thank you for asking.
I myself am just doing okay. So My wife sends me a message while I'm at work saying, your son wants to go to Olive Garden. And I'm like, Olive Garden? Really? Yes. Why? I don't know. That's where he wants to go. So I come home and Olive Garden's like a good ways away. I didn't want to spend all night in the car. So I was like, dude, what exactly do you want from there? He says, well, I want salad and breadsticks. I'm like, that's easy, dude. We can get that stuff anywhere. I understand the flavor profile of Olive Garden is very different than other places you would go and get these things. But I'm like, I'm not driving this far round trip tonight. Like, we're not doing it, dude. I've got things to do. It's just not going to happen. So we go to this little pizza place that we really like in the area, okay? And I usually get the same thing every time I go in. I get like a chicken salad, all right? And my son, of course, he wants breadsticks and salad, no problem. You ever have that go-to restaurant and like, you know, it's going to be good and the food's always fantastic and there's really nothing to complain about. And every once in a while, you know, something could go wrong and it's like your food takes a little time to get or, you know, something, maybe there's someone new. Today was one of those days and it was just like kind of a train wreck. So we get there, we place our order, all that stuff happened quickly. And then our food is coming out. It like snail speeds, like the speed of smell, our food is coming out and nothing's coming out in any sort of order. They're coming out all over the place. Like it was really weird. Like I got my chicken before my salad. My son got his salad like 45 minutes later, got his breadsticks, and they ordered like one appetizer that came out first. My other son's pizza didn't come out until way later. My wife got lasagna. It didn't come out till way later. And we're just like, what is going on? Like it was really weird how this came out. And before you say, well, Jester, you're being difficult. Things come out at different times. Listen, we own restaurants. Okay. There's an order in which they know to cook these things. There's an order in which they come out together. It's just what it is. Like the hot food usually takes the longest to cook, right? So it usually comes out last. That's why typically everywhere you go, you get the salad first. That and we're pre-programmed that's what we want first. But anyway, today was one of those days at this place. And usually about this time, I usually am like, you know, okay, I'm done with that place for a while now. And I will be. I'll be done with it for a little while. I won't go down there unless somebody else wants to go or they're tugging at me and saying, hey, let's go here. Then maybe I'll go. But it is not a place I'm going to be going back to relatively soon. I'm going to give it at least a month or two before going back. I think a lot of the staffing in there was new tonight. And I think it was the new staffing that really threw a wrench in the gears. And obviously it helps us when we go places locally because we own restaurants locally and people know who we are. So when we go to one of these other restaurants, we're pretty much recognized automatically as, you know, fellow restaurateur, business owner people in town. So therefore we usually get treated a little bit better than the average person coming through the door. All right. And we do try to frequent other local restaurants and businesses to try to, you know, spread the support around. Because I would rather give my money to a person that's doing the exact same thing we're doing and we know their struggle versus some like large corporate entity. Does that make any kind of sense? Anyway, so worked all day on the wee-woo wagon. Easy day. You know, the freedom that comes with this job is fantastic. So today, like, I decided I'm going to wash my car while I'm at work. Like, we have to wash the ambulances and stuff. So we have everything we need there to, you know, do the washing. And then my wife calls and she goes, hey, are you at the garage? And I'm like, yeah, I'm at the ambulance garage. What's up? She goes, well, I was going to stop by. I was like, okay. So she comes down as I'm washing my car. She's like, you get to wash your car while you're at work. And I'm like, yeah. and you get to hang out with me while I do it. Isn't this job great? So the freedom that that entails is just fantastic, especially considering my other job. It's like working at a prison. I've really been enjoying the freedom with this job. Just, and I mean, little things that people take for granted. The fact if something pops in my head, I can just get on Google and I could start looking it up. Or if there's a story I want to read about, maybe to research the show, I could just click on and start reading about it. Or if I simply, like, if a friend pops in my head I haven't talked to in a while, I could shoot them a message. Say, hey man, how you doing? These little freedoms that we take for granted are totally taken from me at my other job. And I think that, you know, it, working full-time on the ambulances, this is like very fresh and new. And eventually these freedoms will wear off and it just becomes part of the norm. But my God, it is a night and day difference. Like just the overall how you feel at the end of the day is great. And my wife told me this morning, she goes, that place is not good for you. Like you know, that job is not good for you mentally. And I'm like, no, I know it's not. It's been screwing me up. I don't, the money, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, the money's good, but the money's not good enough for that kind of torture, which is why I'm only working there 2 days every 2 weeks. And even that is a struggle. Like taking 2 weeks off from that place and then going back, like I was still like, this really sucks. I don't know if I could tolerate this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I can do it, but maybe I can just kind of fight through it and accomplish some things financially. And we'll be back right after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. In our first segment today, I want to talk about the idea of settling. I was driving home tonight and my wife said, oh yeah, we got a Scout magazine in the mail today, you know, from the Boy Scouts. And I'm like, okay, you know, all right. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, like the low standards that the Boy Scouts have now. And I went back to this in my brain. When I was a kid, we had standards. And I said, I wonder what happened to those. And that sent my brain on a basic train ride to Crazyville. And I got really frustrated really quickly thinking about the idea that we in America have lost all of our standards. And when I say standards, I mean, I'm not just talking about the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are a good example. When I was a kid, we had to show up, you know, every meeting. If you weren't in a meeting, they needed an excuse from you. And I mean, and it was like, you know, not a written doctor's note, but you know, your parents had to explain why you were missing a meeting and why you weren't there, because there needed to be some accountability. Because at the end of the day, if a kid's not getting all his merit badges or he misses something, you know, the scoutmaster needs to go back and say, hey, listen, your kid has missed, you know, 10 meetings this year. Of course he's not going to get it all. Because that's what parents do. They want to half-ass everything and then bitch when their kid doesn't get it all. We're not going to get into the everybody gets a trophy thing, though. Well, maybe we will. So now it's to the point where, I mean, you had to be in uniform. You had to show up for things. You had to volunteer. Had to. There was not any getting out of this stuff. If you wanted to be a member of the Boy Scouts of America, you had to be there for these things. And now these kids don't even have to show up in uniform. They're not working on earning anything. There's like no good trips. The parents look at it as a social kind of experiment thing where they want to show up, let their kids interact with other kids and go nutso for a while. And it is crazy. But that's one thing. There's so many more. We have drastically lowered our standards individually. Like us as individuals have lowered our standards. I remember being younger and there was a certain way you dressed to go to the store. There was a certain way you dressed to go to the bank. There was a way you dressed to go to church. There was a way you dressed when you would go out to eat. And depending on what that restaurant was, maybe you dressed up a little bit, right? And the only time it was acceptable to not be properly dressed is when you were in your work clothes. So if you were, say, a painting contractor, it was acceptable to go to lunch covered in paint, like in painted clothes and you know, shitty clothes. Same thing, maybe you're a carpenter. It's normal, you know, you could show up at you know, in your busted ass work boots with holes in your jeans and, you know, a semi ripped off t-shirt, because guess what? You're a carpenter. That's okay. And we've accepted this. Like, you might see a guy in his work uniform in the bank because he has to do banking too. He's making money. He's working. So it's not uncommon to see a mechanic in coveralls in the bank, right? Like that's normal. Okay. But what's not normal is the stuff I'm seeing today. And the stuff I'm seeing today is people leaving the house with pajamas and slippers and oversized clothing, that has now become acceptable. And I could totally see, you know, you're taking your kids to school in the morning, you don't have to go to work for two more hours and you have to get ready and you're dropping the kids off. Okay, that's understandable. I could also see, you know, someone calls you in the middle of the night, hey, I need a ride to the hospital. I'm not trying to pay an ambulance fee, but I do not feel good. Okay, I'm not even going to get dressed. I'm just coming over. I'm in pajamas. Okay, fine. Acceptable. But when the fuck did we start showing up at Walmart or the bank or church or any of these other places totally underdressed, like just settling? And then it goes beyond this, because the same people who don't care about how they dress don't care about appearance. And this is males and females. I'm not singling anybody out here, but no one's fixing their hair anymore. They're just going out looking a mess. Men aren't properly shaving. They're going out, they're looking a mess. Women aren't plucking the facial hair areas they should be plucking. They're not putting on the base makeup to go out and look presentable. It is just going further and further and further and further downhill. So there's this one grocery store I go to quite frequently in the area. And it's one of these places where they always have decent looking women in there working, but like almost decent. Like if each one of these girls, like each one of these girls that's in there presents as like a 4 or 5. But if they would spend 2-3 minutes, maybe 5 in front of the mirror before they would leave the house, they could easily be a 7 or 8 with minimal effort. And the wild part about this is when they do have a girl that comes through that is like the 7, the 8, the 9, they do not keep her. She gets hired on. She's there very temporarily and then she's gone. Oh, maybe the owner's wife is like, you are not getting pretty people to work here. They need to look less than me, so tell them no heavy makeup. Like, there's something going on. There has to be something going on, because it's become, after going in there for a few years, it's become so noticeable at this point, it's hard to ignore. Like, none of you guys are wearing lipstick. None of you guys have makeup on. Are you told not to wear makeup to work? Because you get the good looking ones and they're out of there real quick. They don't last. So I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. But, you know, that's becoming an acceptable standard. Look, if you got to work with the public and you're out in the public eye and you work in any sort of customer service, look your best. I don't care. Unless your job is like driving a truck full of shit and cleaning out septic tanks, then nobody fucking cares. You're out here sucking up human shit all day. I don't think anybody gives a fuck about your appearance. But if you're going out in public, like I don't care if you're a mailman, a mail woman, if you work at an oil change facility, whatever, you should look put together. People are spending money on A, your services, or B, a product you're selling. Okay. And that's across the board. You should look presentable. That's what it is. I mean, and that's why you see things that, you know, and this is kind of a common thing here. The more expensive a person's services are, typically the nicer that they'll be put together. And it's not because putting yourself together is financially exhausting. No, it's not. It's just you're gonna spend more money and be more comfortable doing it if you're dealing with someone who's like relatively put together. But I'm seeing it now to where even doctors, like I'll go to the doctor and my doctor's like in sweats, not scrubs, sweats. And I'm like, why? Why is this an acceptable thing? When I was younger, my doctor would wear slacks, a button up, a tie, and a lab coat. Typically, that was the norm. Okay. And then if the doctor was out of the lab coat, he probably had a sport coat on. All right. And, I mean, we were put together, and I'm sitting here wondering what the fuck happened. We'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. Go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prep Stock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
And we're back. So to continue into this lowering standards, now that's covering the outward appearance. I'm sure you guys get it, but we're also tolerating like fuckery low standards. And what I mean by that is companies are not firing people or getting rid of the fuck ups. And that blows my mind. We've got people now that barely show up to fucking work or show up late or leave early. And the ones that do this are always religious at doing it. Like, they're, you know, it's, and it's funny because I come across people every now and again that I've worked with over the years. And it's like, yeah, you know, this guy, he's hit or miss whether he'll be here or not. Or, you know, this guy, he's always late. Or, you know, this guy, he might make it to 1 o'clock and then he's leaving. Right. And that would be tolerated for a very short period of time. And then they would be shit canned. Nowadays, that's not a thing anymore because these employers are so damn desperate for people, which is crazy to me that they're so desperate because, you know, Bidenomics and everything else and low unemployment, blah, blah, blah. But they're desperate for people. And so they're willing to tolerate this. And then also the other thing that they're willing to tolerate. So first off, they lowered their standards for attendance, tardiness, things like that. They've lowered their standards way, way down to the point where it hurts me for the company to watch this kind of fuckery take place. Okay. And not just that, but the attitudes from employees. When I was growing up, you had the utmost respect for your boss until he gave you a severe reason not to respect him anymore. And at that point in time, your time was probably limited at that company anyway, so you were moving on. Nope, nowadays, these little shits, they shit talk their boss right to their face, behind their backs. It gets back to them. Bosses do nothing. They don't do anything. They just let it go on. Why? Because they need people. And they've lowered their standards to the point where they're willing to tolerate bullshit to keep the doors open, which is crazy. Now, let's get into the standard of employee issues. Now, I want you to think about this for a second, okay? We live in a 100% like digital age, and we are in constant connectivity. You have a cell phone, you have a computer in your pocket 24 hours a day, okay? To where, you know, you can schedule doctor's appointments through your phone, you could set reminders, you have a calendar, you have voice memos and Word docs in your phone and notepads in there. There's no reason you should forget any fucking thing. There's no reason why you can't schedule shit around your days off. Like, the only excuse to give somebody is, one, lack of responsibility. That's the main one. And then there's a bunch of things that fall under lack of responsibility. Okay. But that's ultimately what it boils down to is if you can't plan things on your day off, you are irresponsible, especially if you have weekdays off. Okay. And we have employees now that call out for every little thing. My dog's got a vet appointment. I gotta go. My car's gotta get the oil changed. I gotta go. I got a doctor's appointment. I gotta go. I'm going to the dentist. I gotta go. Hey, I got this weird appointment with a voodoo doctor. I gotta go. And that's what's going on. And employers are like, okay, you can leave. You're gonna be back tomorrow, right? Yeah, but I'll probably be late. That's okay. As long as you're here, that's what counts. Who the fuck said, and that's what I'd love to know, who the fuck said it's okay just to show up, that counts? It doesn't fucking count. Showing up does not count. Doing your job effectively and correctly is what counts. That is ultimately what counts. And for anybody out there who's like, Jester, you're wrong. Okay, sure, then what? Then what? I'm wrong, sure, then what? It's going to keep going on to the point where you're having to pay more because the one employee that is actually doing their job is now forced to work overtime to get your products on the shelves or to get your packages delivered or to get the products made or, you know, whatever. But I'm wrong. I'm wrong. It's not okay just to show up. You have to be effective at your job. If you're not, stay the fuck home, find a different job. Find a job you're effective at. That's it. Just being there is not enough. But we've lowered standards for that, okay? Now, another on-topic point that we've also lowered standards for is we've also lowered standards for this identification bullshit, all right? And I mean, I could see, and this is mainly a thing here in the States, I could see employers making a you know, ADA compliant accommodations for, you know, someone who may be in a wheelchair that needs to come to work. Like, that's acceptable. A lot of places overseas, though, that's not how that works. If that's a job in an office on a second or third story building and they don't have an elevator and all they have is stairs, you just don't get that job. But here, there's a different mentality, because if you want that job and they don't have an elevator, guess what? Well, now you can sue them for not hiring you because you're handicapped and they only hired you because they didn't want to put in a wheelchair ramp. Glorious. Now, this isn't where I'm going with this segment. Where I'm going with this is the identification factor. So if somebody wants to identify as, say, a bird and they have to get up from their desk at their office every 15 minutes to stretch their wings and fly, the employer has to accommodate that. If the person identifies as a dog and they randomly bark, the employer has to accommodate that. Okay. And if, say, an employee identifies as someone who is handicapped, even though they're not handicapped, they have to accept the fact that they're parking in a handicapped spot, right? So it is just, it's amazing to me. And that's not even touching on the transgender thing and employers having to add extra bathrooms. And, you know, I don't know if the kids that were using the litter boxes yet have graduated and are in the workforce now. And I don't know if their bosses are giving them litter boxes, but it is insane. I was in the store the other day and overheard a conversation between two of the clerks. And the one clerk was asking the manager if she could move registers. And the manager said, why do you want to move registers? And this girl responded with, because I don't like being here alone. And she's like, there's a store full of people and you've got people coming through. What do you mean alone? She goes, well, my friend's at this register over here and they're on break. And I want to move to be closer to another person at a register. Now, back in the day, it would be, well, suck it up for the next 20 minutes till they get back from break. You'll be fine, I promise. But it's, no, let's shut down the register. Let's shut it down. Let's pull the count. Let's do all this. Let's do 15 minutes worth of work so you could be comfortable for five. And that's what happened. And that's crazy to me. We've become that accommodating. Ladies and gentlemen, we're late for a break. We'll be right back.
Want to advertise on the Doom Daily Show? Send producer Scooter an email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. And this 15-second ad slot could be yours.
And welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Be sure to tip your lovely producer, Scooter. So the employers have drastically reduced standards to keep and maintain employees. We are seeing people not even dress themselves or carry themselves correctly. And, you know, there's just this whole missing standards. We've lowered the bar so fucking low, we're tripping on it. And nobody seems to care. Do you know why nobody seems to care? Because we've also lowered our bar's mental capacity. Your mental capacity bar is now low as well. All right? So check this out. Back in the day, we didn't use the term anxiety as much as we do today. Okay? We would say something like, you know, I'm very uncomfortable in crowded settings. Now it's you hear people say, I got people anxiety. You know, I need a med for that. So I didn't take my meds. So no, I can't go to this theme park with you because I didn't take my meds. Or no, I can't go to the fair because there's too many people and I ran out of my meds. And it's like, what? When did that become a thing? Like, when did that happen? Right? Okay, so I, back in the day, your therapist, if you were seeing one because you had an issue such as, you know, crowd fear disorder bullshit, your doctor would tell you, your therapist would tell you, hey, listen, that's what I want you to do. I want you to try to work with this and get comfortable with this because we don't want you accidentally getting put into a circumstance that you can't get out of and something bad happening. So we need to work on this. We got to get you more comfortable. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to start going to a coffee shop once a day and get comfortable being in a room of, you know, about a dozen people. And then when you're good with that, I want you to go ahead and I want you to go see a comedy show where there's a room full of 50 people. And then once you're like, okay, this isn't bad, I want you to go to a concert where there's like 1,000 people. And if you're good with that, you'll be good from here on out, I promise. And if that doesn't work, we'll go back. We'll take a step backwards. We'll go back to the comedy shows and see if that 50 room thing will work for you for a while till we're ready to graduate to something a little bit more. Maybe we'll hit the theater, you know, where there's maybe 200 people in there. See if that works. Maybe the concert's a little overwhelming. And that's how these problems would get solved. Now it's, nope, here's a pill. Take it. You'll feel better. And with this, and it's so funny to me, we all have this mentality that everybody's a little bit special. You're special to yourself and you're above people because this is what you were trained to think and this is what you were trained to believe. And I actually heard this come up in conversation today. Someone said, what, you think you got all these certs that makes you better than everybody? And I'm like, not saying this to me, saying this to somebody else. And I'm like, yeah, it absolutely means he's better than you. That's what it means. He's put the work in. It means he is better. That's what it means. It means he's better. You might not agree with it, but that is what it means. This guy is better by definition of better. He is better. And you don't like it because you don't think that's fair. Well, guess what? Life's not fair. It's just not. And people don't understand that. They want special treatment because that's just how they feel. And, you know, this could go out there to everybody. If you want to be the fucking man in your group, if you want to be the fucking alpha, you have to be a fucking alpha. If you want to be the man, you have to be the fucking man. You cannot fake that. You cannot fake being an alpha because a real alpha will smell you. They'll smell your bullshit and they'll knock you down, right? And I've seen it 1,000 times, man, where I've got into circumstances with guys and they're like, I'm the alpha here and I'm a hard ass. And I'm like, well, you haven't met me yet. What's up, dude? And automatically there's a clash. And in the end, I usually come out victorious because I am an alpha. I'm the fucking man in the room 9 times out of 10. And this is just something that can't be faked, but you in your head have set the bar lower. You've set your mental bar lower is what you did. So what you may think you are as an alpha isn't what the rest of the world feels like, right? So this is what I'm saying. We've even set this bar internally lower to where you get a little boost of self-esteem. You're on top of the fucking world. Everybody should have self-esteem all the time. Everybody should have a firm grip on their fucking balls and be confident in any given situation. And we don't demonstrate confidence anymore either. That's gone. And you know one thing, back when we were in high school and we were younger and things like that, the guys who got all the pussy weren't the guys that were the best looking or had the nicest car or had the most money. You know what they had? Above all else, they had confidence and they were alphas, and a female will pick up on that. And that's any fucking species. They pick up on that shit. That female wants to mate with the fucking alpha. And that's it. It's that simple, right? I mean, just put this in the mind. Go with a very simple mindset on this. You watch National Geographic. You don't see the female lionesses going after the little gimpy shit lion. No, she wants that big motherfucker. She wants that alpha male. That's who she wants. So, and you can't fake that. You cannot fake it. Start setting, you want to become that person, set that bar higher for yourself, because no one else is going to do it for you. And that's it. Until tomorrow morning, everybody, have a great Tuesday. Go to work. Be the alpha. Catch you guys on the next episode. Producer Scooter, I'm out of here, babe.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.